This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Hundreds of people looting stores, smashing windows, and clashing with police down Michigan Avenue.
Large groups of looters targeted high-end stores and businesses on Michigan Avenue, shattering windows, stealing merchandise, even filling cars with stolen goods as they clashed with officers.
There must be some reasonable explanation for this.
It comes hours after police were called about a man with a gun on Sunday afternoon. Police say he fired at approaching officers, who then fired back. Emotions in the area quickly running high after false information spread about the suspect's age.
The whole thing was just a misunderstanding.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
These individuals engaged in it can only be described as brazen and extensive criminal looting and destruction. And to be clear, this had nothing to do with legitimate, protected First Amendment expression. We are coming for you. We are already at work in finding you, and we intend to hold you accountable for your actions.
It's too late. The damage is done.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The big problem for Joe Biden is that he is falling apart. He's just falling apart.
It's why they're keeping Biden in the basement.
I actually don't believe Joe Biden is working out of his house. I believe he's working out of a nursing home.
What the heck is going on these programs? Talk radio's narrative for months has been that Joe Biden is falling apart. And there he is riding a bike, out for a bike ride.
A good point.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Apparently, Donald Trump, who had that event under Mount Rushmore, actually wanted to figure out whether or not they could put his face up on the mountain.
He does love to troll the press. This is all trolling. It's nothing more.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
They want to believe that he was really serious when he said he wanted to be on Mount Rushmore, right? Just like he was serious when he said on national TV that the Russians should get Hillary Clinton's emails and then release them. Yeah, right. And the fact that Joe Biden is riding a bicycle means that he's in full command of his faculties. Please, Joe Biden. He looked kind of lost even on the bike. But that was what Brian Stelter, Humpty Dumpty, was citing as an example of his of the fact that he was in command. It was quite a weekend. And Lori Lightweight, the mayor of Chicago, she doesn't need any National Guard in the Windy City. She just needs, as she tweeted back at the president, common sense gun legislation. Common sense gun legislation. You heard it in the intro there, the terrible riots that they had in the upscale shopping district. The looters in the peaceful, in yesterday's peaceful protest, as President Trump called it on Friday night in New Jersey, the peaceful protesters looted Nordstrom's, Walgreens, Macy's, Coach, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and I'm sure a host of others. Some even exchanged gunfire with police at one point. So the deal was that the unrest began Sunday afternoon when police responded to a report of a man with a gun in the city's Inglewood neighborhood. While being pursued by police, the man who was on foot turned and fired shots at officers before being struck himself and taken to a local hospital. Now, he wasn't even dead. He was wounded. But suddenly there's a riot because the police shot somebody. Now, you know, there are only three people killed in Chicago this weekend, which means it's the lowest probably since Memorial Day. Some of these weekends in July, there were 13, 14, even more people being killed. And more than one of them was a kid under the age of 10 years old. There were at least five kids under the age of 10, I would say, shot in Chicago this summer. Killed. They started, the mob, the initial mob, started hurling objects at officers after getting agitated over a false rumor that the suspect, who was 20 years old, was a child. The police chief or commissioner today says that the suspect has previously been arrested 4 times for charges including burglary, child endangerment, and domestic battery. Okay? So they just saw that it was an opportunity for looting. And apparently, they have U-Hauls on call, or you can rent a U-Haul, you know, if you see a looting opportunity, because the Trib reported that it observed people carrying shopping bags full of merchandise in the areas where the looting was happening, and at least one U-Haul van was seen pulling up. I mean, was this U-Haul van just waiting for the first potential looting? Ugh. All right, but they're gonna do so. So that, meanwhile, there were more riots in Portland, and there was one there. I mean, we had a lot of great sound here today, but there was another riot, and in Portland, I guess they have a law that you have to actually declare a riot. I don't know if it's the mayor or the police commissioner that has to declare a riot, but if you declare a riot, then you can use tear gas. So every night they say declare a riot. It's like saying we declare the sun is going down. Of course there's going to be a riot. It happens every night for the last 10 weeks anyway. So one of the Portland cops made an arrest, I guess Saturday night or last night. And they arrested a woman. I'm sure she was a looker. But they said, do we have a woman that can pat her down, can roust her. And they didn't have a woman. And so they were wondering what they were going to do. But listen to what happens here. Cut 5.
Is there a female officer present while you're patting her down?
What's that?
Do you have a female officer present while you're patting her down?
Nope. How do you know that I don't identify as a female?
You did?
Yeah.
Smart ass.
How do you know that I don't identify as a female? That's throwing it right back in their face, huh? 844-500-4242. Nancy Pelosi, she couldn't believe that Judy Woodruff, of all people, Mrs. Al Hunt, Judy Woodruff, you know, a card-carrying fellow traveler, she actually made an argument just in the form of a very polite, some might say obsequious question. But Nancy Pelosi is not used to being questioned. You know, when she doesn't get fact-checked when she says the president told people to swallow Lysol. She doesn't have to put up with that nonsense. She doesn't get asked about if it's a bad look for her to be showing off her multi-thousand-dollar Sub-Zero freezers full of $15 a pints of designer ice cream. She's not used to that. So Pelosi just flips out here. Cut 15.
The other point Republicans are making is they are now showing flexibility in money for state and local governments. This is, again, a difference. Democrats want more money. Republicans want a lot less. They are saying they're willing to show flexibility. And they're also saying a lot of the money that was passed in the spring, Madam Speaker, has not even been spent yet.
Well,
so
if you want to be an advocate for them,
there?
Judy, if you want to be an advocate for them,
no, I'm,
let's know
I'm,
what the facts are.
I'm playing
are.
Devil's advocate
no,
here
no,
to ask you for your position.
If you want to be their advocate, oh my goodness.
She's so used to all of these write-ups and about her being a boss.
She's a lioness, Grace. Didn't you read that over the weekend? She's a lioness.
She's everything she does is so savage. She's killing it. And then they ask her one question, and she totally has a meltdown.
Yeah.
Complete tantrum, because she's spoiled. She's not just an old, rich woman. She's spoiled politically. All they do is heap praise on her. She's a master negotiator.
I like the fact that Trump just is walking away now. I watched the press conference on Saturday at the golf club in New Jersey, and this woman, I don't know who it was, just kept screaming the same question at him over and over again. And he was trying to take a question from somebody else. I mean, he was answering some legit inquiries. But this woman just kept screaming at him, and he just said, thank you, that's it, bye-bye.
And just in this room, you have dozens of people. You're not following the guidelines in New Jersey, which say you should not.
This was Friday.
No, they don't have to use a political activity. You're wrong on that, because it's a political activity. They have exceptions, political activity, and it's also a peaceful protest. So when you have and as you know, they asked if they could be there.
It's a peaceful protest like they had in Chicago last night, like they had in Portland every night for the last 10 weeks plus. Peaceful protests. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
But the Chinese, what they said is China would prefer Joe Biden. Whether they do, that's their conclusion, that they would prefer Joe Biden.
That Joe Bidenitis is going around, isn't it? You know, Ed Markey loses his memory and Nancy Pelosi can't talk and starts screaming at people. Judy Woodruff isn't even black. I mean, she didn't ask her if she's on cocaine or is a junkie. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommates or family's music. And Raycon wireless earbuds are the way to go. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you plan on voting in person?
Yes, I do.
91% say yes.
Really? So that's a little high. I didn't know it would be quite that high.
The day is young, my friend.
I know. I'm starting to hear stories. I heard one today. I can't say what town it's from or any, or, you know, what exactly the connection is, but I'm positive of the truth of it. At this town in suburban Boston, they're starting to get requests for absentee ballots from the same people who are requesting mail-in ballots. At least 40 cases so far. They called up another town that they have connections with, you know, people that used to work in the first town, or they called them up and they checked, and they're having the same problem. And they don't want it. No one wants to talk about it at the state level. They're just going, shh, do what you can. Hand check them. How the hell do you hand check when you got 10,000 voters in a town or are 50,000 voters in a town? How do you hand check? You compare the request for absentees with mail-in ballots, and then you turn them up. What do you do? What if they call and say, I didn't get my mail-in ballot. I just got my absentee ballot. Who's gonna stop them from demanding two ballots? This is a big, big mess. And I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't really care about the primaries in Massachusetts, but I mean, the general election, that's pretty important, isn't it? Mail-in voting, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah, they got I got some stories about Nevada, you know, where they're sending out ballots. They've made two arrests in Nevada in the last week in Las Vegas with people that they were arrested for drugs or guns or whatever. And they discovered them with multiple letters in various identities from the unemployment office in Nevada. These are the same people who are sending out the mail-in ballots to everybody in the state. Everybody. They can't handle unemployment benefits, which means handing out checks, but they're going to be able to handle these ballots. It's so bad. 844-500-4242. Yeah, you could vote three times, says 561. Mail-in, absentee, and in person. Yeah, you could. You're telling me they're not going to do that? They're absolutely going to do that. Bill from West Hartford. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, hi, Howie. I have a scoop for you. I'm head of the West Hartford, Connecticut Biden for President Committee, and I know already who Joe Biden is going to pick for his running mate. I'm going to tell you right now and your listening audience right now.
It's Peter Ducey. It's Peter Ducey. That's what he said when he ventured out of the basement the other day, the Fox News reporter, son of Steve Ducey. Only thing is, he's only about 26, 27 years old.
Now, Karen Bass is going to be Joe Biden's running mate, and Karen Bass is an atheist like myself, and I'm thrilled that Karen Bass will be Joe Biden's running mate. Karen Bass from California.
So who do you thank for the? So if you're an atheist, who do you thank for the fact that you haven't had to work a day for the last 45 plus years?
I thank myself. And I feel I have a right not to work because I'm a beautiful person. I'm a liberal, progressive Democrat, and an atheist. So I don't have to work.
And you're addicted to fortified wines and prescription drugs.
Yes, fortified wine and the hookers. I love the hookers. I have so many pills. In fact, in a few minutes, I'm going to take my Klonopin.
Jerry, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Howie. My condolences on the passing of Mr. Gooner. You did a good job.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that.
Just wanted to see if you
have observation. Call back, Jerry. Call back. We were having a problem with your connection. Rose, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rose.
Yes, Howie. I'm a Maine girl that's a third-generation Irish girl that went to convent schools. And when Joe Biden put out last week his gang of ducklings or whatever they are, that Joe Biden was a devout Catholic, I got news for everybody. Joe Biden and John Kerry both were excommunicated by the Catholic Church in this country. They can't get communion in any church in the country.
Well, I think they could probably get it in a lot of churches in the country, but wasn't Joe Biden turned down by a priest for communion a couple of years ago?
You can't get... When John Kerry and Teresa Hines went out to Haley, Idaho, back in the day, he was refused communion by the Archbishop of Idaho. And they can't get communion.
Well, I think
Cardinal Dolan's not going to give those bums. I used to say to all my Irish friends,
I don't know, Rose. Didn't they all get communion when they went to Ted Kennedy's funeral? I remember even as a not very good Catholic, being kind of appalled by the fact that all these people that were for partial birth abortions were getting communion. It seemed kind of offensive to me, but they're just. They're just going after Trump because he said he didn't like God, and he didn't like religion, and that he was involved in the administration that tried to put the Little Sisters of the Poor out of business, but he was just sort of using shorthand. And again, they try to go after him the way they never go after Nancy Pelosi. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. Did you see that Willie Brown, the former boyfriend of Kamala Harris, told her she should give up the quest for the vice presidency and should go for attorney general? I mean, who was he kidding? Come on. Who the hell parlayed being attorney general into ever being president as opposed to being vice president, especially when you're the vice president or possibly of Joe Biden? I mean, that's a sure ticket to the presidency of the United States. I don't think Willie was serious either, by the way. I think Willie was just trying to hell hath no fury, like a former sugar daddy scorned, I guess. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Joining us now on the line is Katrina Pearson, the senior advisor for the Trump 2020 campaign. Katrina, thanks for being with us again here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Seems that the Democrats are a little bit discombobulated by the latest executive orders. They Now that the president has walked away from the table and basically done what had to be done, they want to go back to the negotiating table now.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that they still haven't figured out that President Trump is about the American people and solving problems, unlike the Democrats. And sure enough, and he called them to the carpet again. I mean, where have they been this last month? We've been talking about phase four forever now, and we have to provide relief to the American people. So clearly, President Trump's going to take action with or without them. And now that he's done that again, they want to come back to the table. And it just goes to prove that Democrats are playing politics with people's lives. And I truly hope that Americans are paying attention.
I think the Treasury Secretary said that the Democrats might want to think twice about it, going to court to try to stop the payments of, even if it's just $300 a week or $400 a week, and also stopping the deferral of the payroll tax. So everyone is going to get a little more dough out of this deal. And the Democrats now have been bitching and moaning about the fact that the president and the Republicans were so cold-hearted. And now the Democrats find the tables have totally turned. They're going to be the ones who are going to try to stop people from getting the money that in many cases they need, not all, but in many cases they need.
Well, I mean, I think it's worse than that, because when you consider, you know, over the last few months, you've had red states and red districts who've been opening, you know, letting people go back to work and working through the hurdles of the pandemic. And you've had Democrats and in these blue areas who've been stopping people from going back to work. And so they're actually the ones that have really been imposing a lot of damage. You know, disproportionately Black Americans, controlled completely by Democrats, have been shut down for a very long time. And some cases, they can't even leave their home without being ticketed. So when you really look at what's happening, you have the Democrats who are imposing these unreasonable restrictions on people, and then they don't even want to allow them to have the type of relief that the president is trying to give to them. I think it's a double-edged sword in this game from the Democrats. You know, I do believe that Americans are paying attention, because, you know, one of the things that we've all said in the beginning is that we're all in this together. And what we see from the Democrats now is that, you know, they're in this for them, and then it's us against the rest of them.
Speaking of Black Americans, two statistics for you. A Rasmussen poll today says President Trump has a 36% favorability rating with African Americans. That's probably a record since they've started keeping those kind of favorability numbers in polls. And the second number, gun sales to Black Americans are up 58% for the first 6 months of this year, the largest increase for any demographic group in the nation. What do you make of that, Katrina?
Well, I think it sends a message, right? What's happening is you have the civil unrest in the predominantly controlled Democrat areas. And you have, like I had mentioned before, the restrictions that are really hurting Black Americans. And we have criminals being let out of jail. And what's happening is more and more Black Americans, my hairstylist included, are now out purchasing guns. They want to be able to protect their property. You have people, anarchists, Antifa, out there taking advantage of all of these opportunities when you have defenseless Americans, you know, or who are helplessly waiting for leadership, and you have the leadership in these areas who simply failed them. And so I think that's what's really contributing not only to the approval rating for the president of Black America, but also to gun purchases. And the Black Enterprise magazine had an entire article written up on this. And, you know, the Black Voices for Trump coalition is now the largest coalition in the campaign, and we hear it all the time. Black Americans do not want to defund the police. They want law and order in their neighborhoods, and now they're buying guns to protect themselves.
Here's another statistic from those gun sales. 40% of first-time buyers are women, Katrina.
Well, absolutely. And being a gun-owning woman, I know why. You know, it's just something that if you can't depend on the leadership in your community to do the one thing they're supposed to do is keep you safe. I mean, think about this. When you look at New York, when you look at what's happening in the state of Minnesota, you have lawmakers who are deciding to reroute funding to the one entity that is designed to keep your community safe. What are you supposed to do? This is craziness. We have anarchy going on in some of our cities, and women are definitely the most vulnerable. So I applaud those women who are taking those steps, purchasing guns to defend themselves. I really do. It's been something that I think a lot of people across the country are now looking at, this notion of, you know, the Democrats' type of gun control, meaning only the criminals are allowed to get guns. And I think it's really hit home with a lot of people.
Katrina Pearson is senior advisor for the Trump 2020 campaign. You saw the poll numbers seem to be tightening significantly in the last week to 2 weeks. One poll, I think Biden is only ahead by three. And when you figure that, you know, two-thirds of the people in America across all demographic groups are afraid to say who they're really for or what they really think, I got to think the president is really ahead. What do you attribute this change to, this sudden shift in the polls?
Well, I think one of the things I think contributed was the campaign put out a very lengthy memo on how a lot of these public polls are done and how these networks are doing their polls, not including the methodology, oversampling with Democrats, really just trying to weight down the president's numbers and the public results and where they differ from our own polling, which in 2016 was exactly the same. We knew we were doing much better than all these public polls. And even on Election Day, I believe Hillary was supposed to win by 10.
Yes,
but
she
we
was.
Knew that wasn't going to happen. And not only that, but it's interesting that you see the people that are still coming out to the events. Like right now, Women for Trump are on tour, the big pink buses in Pennsylvania, and there are hundreds of people showing up. The enthusiasm is astronomical. Joe Biden doesn't have a prayer. He can't even do an interview with a reporter sitting down one-on-one. He has to stay in his basement with a laptop and note cards and still can't get it right. So I think they're having to be at least a little bit more honest with the polls, because this notion that somehow Joe Biden was beating President Trump was becoming laughable.
I want to play you a sound cut, too. The president doesn't live there anymore. He's made his legal domicile Florida, but he was born and raised in New York City. And it's a total basket case, the city and the state. And Max Rose is the congressman from Staten Island. It's basically a Republican district, and he's a Democrat, and he was lucky to be elected. But the fact is that he's walking away from the elected leadership. This is a congressman from Staten Island, Max Rose, and he was interviewed about Bill de Blasio. And listen to what he said, Katrina Pearson, Cut 17.
This mayor is not only the worst mayor in the history of New York City, he's the worst mayor in the history of this great country.
Yeah. They don't seem that confident to me, Katrina.
No, and if you see what's been happening, you know, in New York, I mean, it's truly devastating. And how you have people like de Blasio who, you know, can go to sleep at night is truly astounding. But it goes to show you where we are in America. You know, I say all the time, we stopped running against Democrats in 2016. We're now literally running against socialists and Marxists. These are people who fundamentally do not care about Americans. They do not care about our foundation or our country. And they're fundamentally trying to reshape, or what do they say, reimagine America. And it's all to their benefit.
Yeah, reimagine the police. That was last week's cliche of the week.
Right.
So the bus tour, the pink bus, it's in Pennsylvania now. Where else is it going to be?
Yeah, Pennsylvania today and tomorrow, Thursday, Minnesota next week. We're going to be all over.
Minnesota next week. I think the primary is tomorrow for Ilhan Omar. She suddenly finds herself in a dogfight against the guy who's significantly outraised her for funds. And the Minneapolis City Council, I believe, is having a vote tonight on whether or not to abolish the police department, or at least, significantly cut its numbers. Because, of course, they're having a summer of love in Minneapolis, just like they're having a summer of love in Seattle and Portland. Yeah. It's a nice
thing. Yeah, you know, and this is the other thing, too. This really goes to show you that old saying that all politics is local is absolutely true. Everybody listening needs to make sure that their friends, their family, and their neighbors get out to vote, because this is where it all happens. We don't get Speaker Pelosi. She started out in the state of California. Local elections matter, and they matter so critically, and they can send a huge message. So hopefully Ilhan Omar will no longer be running after her primary.
Yeah, there's a story in San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's district today. The Mark Hopkins Hotel, one of the finest hotels in San Francisco, they used the city jail bus to bring homeless COVID-19 positive prisoners that they released, and they let them in to the Mark Hopkins Hotel, like probably, I don't know, hundreds of dollars a night to stay there. They just threw them out, Katrina Pearson. They brought in hazmat units to clean out the hotel. Hazmat units. This is Nancy Pelosi's hometown, her district.
I mean, you know, it's so crazy to see some of the things that they're doing and how they're doing it specifically. You know, we hear these stories about, you know, people that jails releasing criminals, essentially, because of COVID. And, you know, just in Virginia, one man who actually was accused of raping a woman, they let him out and he went and murdered her. These are the types of things that Americans are looking at and they're saying, enough is enough. This is ridiculous. Democrats are completely unreasonable and irresponsible. And because most of the things that are happening are irrational, most Americans cannot wrap their brains around what is happening in some of these communities. And President Trump has stood strong and he stood firm. He's going to be pushing for law and order. He's going to continue to push policies to help Americans. And the Democrats are the ones who are out there fighting against America and the American people.
That guy in Virginia, it was even worse than I had initially heard. They let him out, and then he got arrested again for drunk driving, and they still wouldn't bring him back to jail, even though he was supposed to be, you know, just staying at his home. And they let him go again, and that's when he killed a woman. It's just crazy. And apparently there's no accountability anywhere for any of this.
No, and where's the recourse for the families? You know, what are these families supposed to do when their loved ones who had their lives taken or criminals released from jail? Where's the recourse for that? And what about the victims? How many women are now no longer going to report their assaults because of things like this? I mean, the unintended consequences of trying to prove some political point is devastating, and Americans aren't going to stand for it. I firmly believe that people are paying attention. They're seeing what this president is trying to do for them, and they're watching very closely to how the Democrats are reacting, and they are seeing this blatant politicization of the pandemic for their own political gain.
All right, and that's also why women are buying guns, which brings us back all the way.
That's right.
Katrina Pearson, senior advisor for the Trump 2020 campaign, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Remember in June, the editor of the editorial page of the New York Times was basically fired for letting Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas write a piece talking about Antifa and the left. And even though the guy, you know, he had the perfect New York Times credentials, right down to the fact that his brother was a pablum-puking liberal Democrat senator, U.S. senator from the state of Colorado, but he still had to go. And they published an editor's note at the after the Tom Cotton thing ran. For example, the published piece presents as facts assertions about the role of, quote, cadres of left-wing radicals like Antifa, unquote. In fact, those allegations have not been substantiated and have been widely questioned. Okay, that was June 5th. This is now the next thing I'm going to read is from an August 7th news story in that very same New York Times by someone called Nellie Bowles. Antifa, which stands for anti-fascist, is a radical, leaderless, leftist political movement that uses armed, violent protest as a method to create what supporters say is a more just and equitable country. Wait, so I guess the allegations had been substantiated sometime between June 5th, when they wrote that they hadn't been substantiated, and August 7th, when they presented them as facts without even any attribution, just as facts. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Yes, I thought if you could suggest to the young lady who's giving strategy to the president that he should reverse the income tax imposition on Social Security benefits, he'd be appealing to one of the largest constituencies in the country, getting larger because the baby boomers are getting into it. He'd be giving it to a group that would immediately stimulate the economy, and it would be a poke in the eyes to the Clintons since they're the ones who imposed it in the first place.
Yeah, they are. That was in the first term. I remember that. I don't know that he should be cutting all the taxes, though. I mean, sometimes there is something to be said for going through Congress. I mean, he kind of really stuck it to him by doing what Obama did with the so-called Dreamers, the illegal aliens that wanted to stay in the country, and Obama admitted 20 times plus that it was unconstitutional, and then he did it. So Trump just decided to use his pen and his phone, as Obama said he was using, and give the money that was unappropriated to keep paying for the $300 or $400 weekly stipends, and also for the cut in the payroll taxes. The thing is, he's going to have to make another move, or they're going to owe taxes on that extra money. Unfortunately, and he says if he's reelected, he'll make sure that it's permanently cut, so that no one will owe any money. So this becomes now another political issue. You know, you've gotten a boost in your paycheck because they're not collecting on the payroll tax, but you're going to owe money unless Trump is reelected. So that's another reason to vote for Trump. Thanks for the call, Peter. Casey, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Casey.
Hi, I'm actually new to being a Republican. I'm completely new entirely. And I'm actually new to calling your show. I'm just calling because I'm a former Democrat, and I just can't believe for the life of me I ever was. What can I do? What can I say to my Democratic family? They are diehard. They hate Trump. What can I say to convince them to come onto this side? Because I'm at a loss for words right now. Everything I say, everything I do, it's lie, lie, lie.
Why don't you ask him what exactly is your complaint? What has he done to make your life worse? Why don't you ask him that? I'm sure you have. What's their response?
Their response is they're screwing over all the people who can't afford anything in this world. They're screwing over all the blacks, all the minorities.
They are? Why does he have the highest favorability rating of any Republican in history, probably by 2 or 3 times as much. Thanks, Casey. I'm Howie Carr.